Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellison Show. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, 715-845-2155. If you have a comment about today's conversation, 715-845-2155. Got something in my hand, but I've also got callers, so we'll just hold up. Good morning. You're on with Meg.
Well, good morning, Meg. Tim from Lublin. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you, Tim?
Not too bad. I wanted to respond to your interview in the first half hour with Matt Kittle there and about the anti-Semitism that's been going on at Columbia and all these other liberal blue state Ivy League schools. I just wanted to get your take, response to what I'm about to say. I mean, we've heard President Biden, you know, just glancingly say he's against anti-Semitism, but we have to have understanding for the suffering of the Palestinian people. Well, in my book, if you're going to say, if you're going to take no stance, it means you're standing with the terrorists. It means you're standing with Hamas. You're standing with these animals that tortured people on October 7th. And I think we have to frame it that way because I don't see any other way it fits.
Well, I agree. I can't take any exception to any of that. And I think that's the worst part of all of this is that we're, again, asked to suspend all logic and I mean really ignore the facts about what's going on in Israel and who it was that attacked whom on October 7th. I mean, that's the thing that's so crazy. It's kind of like saying, and I don't even know if this is a good analogy, but I think about if we were ever attacked on American soil, and I would say, you know, we have been many times, it would be as if we would be told that we can't defend American citizens on American soil because we should try to understand the perspective of the terrorist.
Yeah.
It's like September 11th would be an example.
I see your point with that, but couldn't you also make the argument that we are being attacked right now on our own soil with this, with our immigration problem at the border, with God knows who's coming in and what their intentions are?
Absolutely. And that's what's so maddening about it is that we are supposed to suspend common sense, suspend logic. We're not supposed to believe our lying eyes. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's the part that's really, in some ways, it almost prevents us from arguing against what they're saying because it's so absurd what it is that they're trying to assert. I mean, why is it, since when is it wrong to want to protect the American citizens from those that wish to do us harm? And I would say anyone that's coming into our country illegally is potentially someone that could be doing an American harm. So, but we're vilified in some way for wanting to defend our safety or wanting to defend what we should be guaranteed as an American citizen.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if we really want to try to win back the culture, to try to win back America, we've got a tough row to hoe, but it's worth it. I think that what we have to do is look at how to get people to open up their lying eyes to see that there is such a thing as truth, like I mentioned once before when I talked to you when you had Pat Snyder on the air. And I think the way you have to do that, the two people that taught the best way that helped our thinking, that shaped our Western American culture, there are two pillars that it leans on, Jesus Christ, of course, and Socrates. Now, Socrates, when he did his philosophy, the Socratic method of just asking questions to make people realize that their hypothesis or their belief would disappear with unreason, which has always been part of the critical thinking that's no longer taught. But I think that's one thing we have to do. And Jesus, of course, was able to show the truth of life and of God through the parables he taught throughout the New Testament. And I think if we want to help win back the culture in America, we have to be willing to one-on-one to those who will listen, because unfortunately there are those that if you even broach it, if they automatically get in your face and shout you down to shut you up, you're wasting your time. But those who are willing to at least engage with you as an adult, if you're willing to ask questions and tell stories in the ways that these two great philosophers and teachers taught, I think we can finally get some people to see where we were and how we can get back there. It's just going to take a lot of time to win the culture back because it's been deteriorating since, at least the 1960s, if not before.
Well, right, and I, your point about even that there's a segment of our population, sadly, that doesn't even accept that we have a creator and that we have someone that has created this universe through intelligent design, and that they wouldn't want to ever lower themselves to actually acknowledging that there's something greater than themselves. And that's, it's tragic. I mean, I know we as Christians are all called to share the good news with others, but I mean, that's been an obstacle, because for how many years, as you've suggested, has God been turned away in public places and in any kind of discourse among in public schools also, and just the idea that somehow it's offensive to those who don't believe that we can't even talk about our faith anymore. And I mean, that's exactly what the problem is with our society today.
I think so too. I mean, that's why, well, one of the people I enjoy that on a daily basis to renew my faith, I'm not sure if I'd agree with a lot of the theologies of his church, but I see him as a true Christian in terms of how he practices it and preaches. And that's Bishop Miramar R. Emanuel, the man who sadly was stabbed down in Australia, because I've followed a lot of his different sermons, and he has what I see, what is it, the true Christ belief in terms of what real love is, what real forgiveness is, and also importantly, what real dedication to God is. And if you ever get a chance to watch some of his stuff on YouTube, I suggest just to see if that would jive with what your faith might be, and help give you some reinforcement in the battle that we're facing.
Thanks, Tim. We'll do. Hey, have a great day. I appreciate you calling in.
No problem. Take care.
715-845-2155. Good morning. You're on with Meg.
Meg, hi, Ken, here in Loyal.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Well, I'm not on antidepressants. I'm doing real good.
Oh, that's a positive. Was that a thing for you earlier, or are you just making sort of a light?
Never have been, ever. Just doing really good, sweetheart.
Vitamin D is a good antidepressant, I've
Big
heard.
Time, yes, and good music, like the Doobie Brothers. Say, I'm going to just try to cover a couple of the points here. Back to this anti-Semitism and those that are supporting Hamas and all that garbage going on in our Ivy League colleges and everything. You know, I recall seeing many, many horrible scenes throughout history during the concentration camps that the Nazis held. And it's almost hard to find. And I'm not a gruesome person, and nor am I into graphic stuff or scenes. But generally, when you see these people in the concentration camps over there in Dachau and Auschwitz, you know, they usually show them in their camps, in the buildings, stuffed in there like sardines, and they're skinny and they're starving, and it's horrible to look at. But the one I wonder that would maybe affect some of these protesters' minds, I just kind of wonder if it would change their minds to see one particular thing that I've seen. It's hard to even find. I still can't find it on the internet. You may recall it. Your listeners may recall it, but it's the most horriblest thing I've ever seen. And that is, when they had the mass grave sites, when they were pushing these naked, dead people shoved into these holes with bulldozers. Imagine that. Think about that, how horrible that is. I just wonder if something like that, that image was put into these kids' heads, these college-age protesters supporting Hamas, were to see that, I wonder if that would have any effect on their minds whatsoever. You know, come on, you punks. Grow up. All you kids, grow up.
Yeah, it really is just incredulous, I guess, that it's truly, Ken, it appears as if history is repeating itself, and for the American media to not roundly condemn what is happening, and for these college campuses, the presidents of these colleges, that they wouldn't roundly condemn it and stop it dead in its tracks. I mean, they have surrendered Columbia University to terrorists in our country. I mean, it's mind-boggling that anyone can defend it. And I mean, Joe Biden gave the perfect non-answer when saying that he condemns anti-Semitic behavior, which I don't believe, and then he also condemns people who so-called don't understand pro-Palestinians. We don't understand terrorists. I think you and I do understand terrorists. Terrorists want to kill people. By the definition of terrorists, they want to terrorize people. And
yeah.
It's madness.
I'm going to kind of flow into the... we're still on the subject. These college kids, their grandparents probably were of the baby boomer generation, Vietnam War protesters, sure, and all this stuff. And then, of course, the baby boomers had their children. And now their children, if they're not teachers at these Ivy League colleges, or maybe their kids are now too. Listen, it all starts with the family and the parents. It really does. Because these kids today, I'm sorry, not all of them, not all. There's a lot of good conservative mind, very smart individuals out there, but the majority of them are so doggone spoiled, and they think they're so smart, and they get away with anything they want. They don't have a clue. They think, oh, we're anti-establishment, like they were maybe back in the day, during the war or the Weather Underground, whomever. The point I'm getting at, it comes down to the family and the fathers and the mothers teaching their children right morals, respect. And obviously we've got a problem with the school boards and the schools and everything else taking over your children's lives or attempting to, and some of them are being quite successful with what's going on today in the minds of the kids. They're so twisted, they don't know what's happening to them. It comes down to the family, the mother, the father, that have morals and keeping that family together. And that comes back to something I mentioned to you here maybe the last time we talked, a month or so ago. No, it wasn't even that. It was maybe 3 weeks ago. I mentioned about the Natural Family Month, mm-hmm, which is something that's going to be coming out here through Wisconsin, thank God. There's a gentleman here over by Hatley and a gentleman from Ohio that are really getting something off the ground of the Natural Family Month. Get this. Imagine this. From May 12th to May 18th this year, how about celebrate the mothers? How about May 19th to the 25th? Let's celebrate the children. How about May 26th to June 1st? Let's celebrate the grandparents. Maybe June 2nd to June 18th. Let's celebrate the extended families. And then the 9th to the 16th, let's celebrate the fathers.
Yes.
And
I was waiting for you to say fathers. My dad was one of the most important people in my life.
Oh, mine too, because I knew better than to mess with my father. He was a professional boxer, and he won 21 out of 23 professional fights. But it does come back. It really, really, truly comes down to the family structure and keeping it together, and it's scattered now. It's just scattered. Kids, not all of them. I'm not picking on all the kids, but they're just too darn spoiled. And they think they're so smart and they know everything. They're invincible. When I was young, I thought I was invincible. I did, but I finally grew out of it. Once I got into the Navy, I actually matured. So, but yeah, I'm going to get with you a little bit more down the road with you. I'm going to send you some information on what's up and coming with the Natural Family. There is a site, very simple, naturalfamilystrong.com. You're going to be hearing more about this, and people need to get involved with this. And it's a good thing. So I'm going to keep you up to date on this, if I may.
I feel like this would be a really a positive way to use a resolution in your local community at the county board level to have one of our elected representatives introduce a resolution at the Marathon County Board level or, whatever county you reside in, to encourage them to declare a resolution about the natural family.
Yes, ma'am. I can toss in with either with Wood County, too, and one of the gentlemen that's extremely involved with this right now, and that would be Rob Pugh with the Wisconsin Christian News. He's heavy on this right now. Him and I are in touch, and I'm in touch with other folks in other counties. And there is going to be a festival coming up where everybody's going to be welcome, and it's going to be about the family and keeping the family together. And it's vitally important that this gets its recognition. Veterans get 2 days. They get Memorial Day. They get Veterans Day. No disrespect to the blacks. I'm not a prejudiced man. They get a whole month. The people, the pride people, they get a whole month. When the month of June, to me, is dairy month. Mm-hmm. But trust me, what I'm telling you, and you're, I now know you got a listening audience out there, get ready, because we're on the march, the family march. It's all about the family. This is where it all begins, right here, right now. And Wisconsin is on board right now. We're one of the first in the country to really get the ball rolling, as far as one of the states goes here nationally, to get this off the ground. Wisconsinites are going to have to be really proud when this gets going. It's going to take some time, but it's happening, and it's coming. Get ready.
Ken, you hit a home run. Thank you so much for calling in, and I look forward to, if you want to email me some information about it, I will keep bringing it up over and over again.
Sounds great. All right, sweetheart, you have a great day. And all your listeners, hey, have a good day too.
Right back at you, Ken. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. 715-845-2155. I have time for perhaps one more call. We'll see. Good morning. You're on with Meg.
Yeah, this is Phil calling from Stevens Point.
Hello, Phil.
I have to agree with what that other guy said, but, you know, most of these kids that go to these colleges, these are like the children and grandchildren of the 60s hippie revival stuff. They want to try to emulate that. I think they should be kicked out of school. You go to school and learn what happened to academics. All this BS takes precedence, and these people, when they graduate, they're as dumb as a box of rocks. You know, like right where I'm living right now, there's people here working in the trades next door to me, and they're like 20 to 25 years old, and they know how to work. And these other ones go to school here, and they protest. They don't even know what they're protesting about. It's just pathetic what I see.
Yeah, you know, the priorities are just so skewed, or I could even say screwed up with regard to these.
Exactly.
I wouldn't dream when my dad financed my college education, although I had some, myself. Oh yeah, I had some skin in the game,
in college,
too.
I call it dummy blue collar fingers.
Well, I mean, you know. I also took out some student loans because I was responsible part of my education, because my dad wanted me to have skin in the game. And I think I wouldn't have dreamed of disrespecting my parents and
behaving in that manner on a college campus. Myself and borrowed money for it. That just would have been such a, you know, I don't know. That would have been just such a stigma to a family.
Right.
That,
well,
you know,
and to think,
and I would have been to the moon and back probably 3-4 times as
a
result.
I think too,
you know?
Phil, I mean, you have an element of self-respect that evidently these Columbia students do not have.
Yeah, and it's really a prestigious college. You know, I lose total respect and all, and with that arrogance that comes out of there. I mean, if they put their life on a line for this country and fought like the other, you know, like the military people do, then they can be arrogant. It's just a piece of paper to me, you know?
I agree. Well, hey, I got to let you go. I'm up against a break.
Thank
it was
you.
Super nice to hear from you again, Phil. Hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hang on, Snoopy. Super quick, I wanted to share again with you about this upcoming veteran flag placement on Saturday, May 18th in Wisconsin Rapids. I'll be reminding you many times between now and then. Saturday, May 18th, local Wisconsin Rapids veterans organizations will be placing American flags on the headstones of our fallen veterans in deceased veterans in three of the larger Wisconsin Rapids cemeteries. If an individual, family, or organization would like to help them honor our deceased brother and sister veterans, they will be meeting at the Forest Hill Mausoleum at 9:45 a.m. on Saturday, May 18th, and beginning to place flags at 10 a.m. Over 3,300 graves will be decorated with flags at these cemeteries. American flags, pay attention to that, those of you in the House in Washington. Shameful that they were flying another country's flags on the floor of the House, which, again, is illegal. as Congressman Derek Van Orden shared that with us yesterday. Well, anyway, hey, have a great rest of your day. I will talk with you again tomorrow. God bless.